Welcome to the Dirt Doctor Show for natural, organic gardening advice. And now the Dirt Doctor, my dad, Howard Garrett.
Howard Garrett here, and I assume we're on the air. Is that correct, Matt?
I hear nothing. There's all kind of strange things going on right now. I think that the asteroid's coming too close to the to Earth. Okay. Anyway, we're ready to go. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here with you. It's 866-444-3478 is the number to be on the show. Got a few things to talk about, and then we'll get to the phone, so jump on board here. 866-444-3478. And we'll start by telling you, well, this hour is brought to you by the people that make the wonderful dog food, Victor Pet Foods, over in Mount Pleasant, Texas. We're trying a different one this time. We're trying one that is not grain-free, and my dogs don't seem to mind it. I will probably go back to the grain-free ones, but the nice thing about it is there's a wide range of prices and a wide range of ingredients in these Victor dog foods. VictorDogFood.com is where you can learn about them. Their website's great. Their Facebook page is great. A lot of wonderful pictures. So go and check that out. None of their products in their entire production line contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. And some of them are totally grain-free. So whatever suits you and your pets, give it a shot. Their cat food is equally good. We don't have cats, so I haven't personally tried that, but get good reports about it. So give it a shot. Their fresh chicken that's in the products comes from about 5 miles from their location over there in Mount Pleasant, Texas. So ask for it in your local store if it doesn't already exist. One of the nice things about Victor for our listeners is that it is available across the country. Not in as many stores as we'd like, but we're working on that. So if you have a place where you normally buy that doesn't carry it, contact us or the Victor Dog Food people, and we'll try to get that fixed. We've had a little accident in our business family. Doreen has had a pretty bad accident, a fall and a cut, and I haven't seen the SPCA dog of the week yet. That may come around. Those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, just ease down to the Jan Reese Jones Center there west of downtown Dallas and check out all the dogs that are there. I'm sure there's a bunch of wonderful choices. We've had good luck, good response the last several weeks on getting some of these pets placed, so appreciate your help there. And an interesting trip this week I wanted to tell you about, and we've got it on the a website. We've got it on Facebook, actually, some pictures from where I spoke Wednesday and Thursday, and it was in Oklahoma City, downtown Oklahoma City, the Myriad Botanical Gardens, my first visit there. The people there got an event together, and we were part of it. We spoke the first night, Wednesday night, and then again on Thursday morning. Had a great turnout and met a lot of fun people. People from the city came, the park department, the employees, a lot of the employees of the botanical gardens, and a lot of homeowners, a lot of ranchers and farmers from around, and really had a good visit with everybody, and got some more people interested in this natural organic approach. The main thing to tell you about is the place is gorgeous. If you haven't been to Oklahoma City lately and seen this, I recommend you give it a whirl. If you're there, for sure, allow some time to go by and see this place. They are probably not 100% organic, but very much interested in that approach and leaning that way. And hopefully we can push them on to being a totally organic facility there. But it's good looking. The architecture, the landscaping, the surrounding architecture and development in downtown Oklahoma City and all that. But you can see it on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/TheDirtDoctor. And I've got about 15 or 16 pictures there that I took in the area. And check it out. Those of you that have any more information about the place, you know, let us know. It is time for a lot of fall gardening kind of things. When I drove over to the station this morning, it was overcast. Nothing showing on the radar very much at all, but it was overcast and even sprinkling and cool. We got a little bit of rain yesterday. But as the weather cools here in the early fall, late summer, early fall, it's time to plant fall transplants. It may be a little bit late for you to plant some of the seed, but you can still try. Seed doesn't cost a lot, but especially cool season kinds of seed. The carrots, of course, can still go in, and a lot of your cool season greens and spinach from seed, probably you can still get away with a pretty successful deal with it. Transplants, though, for sure, greens, spinach, cauliflower, cabbage, broccoli, all those kinds of things. And we just planted a round of all those transplants in our garden. I put them in, and even though, you know, we're getting into the time that where it's good for that, you often forget, and I did, that it still gets to be 95 to 100 during the day. And I put in a bunch of transplants, watered them in well, and then I forgot them for a day and a half and almost let them get burned up. But they came back with a little watering, and I think they're going to be fine. Still producing quite a bit of okra in the garden, and I got a little bit of a report on one thing that we suggested you try with your okra. Still was having some pretty good production of tomatoes. Peppers are doing very well. I've got a big, it's almost a habanero tree now that's loaded with fruit, and it's going to have quite a bit. The red lima beans are starting to produce small green beans, and hopefully we'll have a little better production than we had last year. As I told you, in case you missed it, last year we had tremendous production. We had great vines. I think I kind of gave my lima beans a little bit too much tender, loving care, and they started setting pretty late, and they didn't really mature completely before we had the first hard freeze. So we had some production, but not near as much. It was going to be blockbuster if we hadn't had that real early freeze. So hopefully those of you with beans and things like that are having some good production and everything's coming on at the time that it should. Walking onions still good. Let's see what else we've got going on. Swiss chards producing very well, getting some nice production there. I didn't plant a lot of things that I should have, so kind of limited on what we're doing. The main thing right now is tomatoes, peppers, and the okra. The thing I want to tell you about the okra, we talked about an idea that one of the organic farmers in the area gave me as a tip a couple of weeks ago when I was at the McKinney Farmers Market, and that is that when the pods get really big and tough, and that happens quickly, that happens within just a few days, the okra pods go from being soft and tender and delicious to being stringy and hard and really not edible at all. Nothing disappoints me more than digging into a wonderful-looking gumbo that has a bunch of okra in it where the chef has put overly ripe, overly mature okra in the in the gumbo, because all you're going to get is a bunch of strings, and it will, when you try to eat the okra, and it's not a good, not a very pleasant kind of thing. So to use the okra pods, use the very small ones. They're still soft and tender. If you don't know for sure, just pick some off and graze in the garden. Eat them raw, and they're great to eat that way. And once they get a little bit chewy, that's fine if you want to leave them on the plants for a while. And here's the tip. You can take them even after they've gotten to be great big, you know, 7 or 8 inches and inch and a half thick, you know, really mature and way past the point of being able to eat the okra. Slice them, take the seed out, and then saute the seed, just the seed. I've done it one time. I didn't saute them long enough. I was a little surprised that it takes a little bit longer than I thought for them to really get tender and nice. Good flavor. I think it's a great idea. But next time I'll do them a little bit longer. I've got a big bowl of them to try maybe again tonight. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Give us a call. Wide open lines here at 866-444-3478. The website's dirtdoctor.com. And I will be back for your calls and a little more chat right after this. Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Hydration. As sunny days get longer, it's easier for your heart to pump blood through the vessels when you're properly hydrated. Plus, athletic performance can last up to 33% longer. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration, recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. DrinkCrazyWater.com for a store in your area.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria, combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growin' Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Howard, back with you. Telephone number and wide open lines for you. So jump on here at 866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. One of the things that we talked about quite a bit, there was a lot of interest in discussing it and in a lot of detail, my trip to Oklahoma City, the people there at the Myriad Botanical Gardens, was the subject of mulches. There's really a lot of information out there that's not so good, and I think part of it starts with the fact that some of the worst mulches from a horticultural standpoint are the ones that are on the market, the easiest to get, recommended the most, used by the landscape industry the most, and all that sort of thing. It's starting to change. It's been changing for a long time, but any change in a major paradigm like, you know, what do you mulch with in landscaping and gardening, it sometimes takes quite a bit of time. And there's some bad information. Some of it even comes from universities about the best mulches and negative things they throw out about some of the best mulches of all. So let's go through it a little bit here. The worst mulches of all, the list of the worst ones, probably top of the list is rubber, the ground up rubber. It's not anything that should ever be used for a whole bunch of reasons. It's not good horticulturally. It gets too hot. There are toxic chemicals in the rubber. I don't know how quickly or effectively they are, or efficiently they are available to the plants, but it's just not a good mulch. It doesn't break down into carbon, doesn't feed microbes, doesn't do anything any good at all. So that's probably number one. I would say number two, bad mulch that should not be used, and it's used a lot nowadays. People have gotten all revved up thinking that it is so pretty, and it's the ugliest mulch there is, and it's the red and the black dyed mulch. Now, not only is it tacky looking, it's got some really serious problems, and the biggest one is that it's all wood. It's ground up pallets and lumber and various kinds of things, so it's all cellulose. It's all carbon. Has no protein in it at all, so it's extremely unbalanced from that standpoint, and doesn't do you any good much at all as far as microbial activity on the surface of the soil, that sort of thing. It also just you know, it doesn't break down very fast, so it hangs around a long time. And a lot of people think that that's a good thing. That gets over into another one that I don't recommend, and that's cypress. Cypress is sold a lot, and one of the reasons that people will say that they think they like it is that it doesn't break down. Well, that's a negative thing. We want mulches to break down because that's what creates the true fertility of the soil and feeds the microbes and helps keep the temperature and what all the available nutrients there in the surface of the soil, which is the most important part of the soil. Cypress is also an environmental problem. It's harvested from bogs and wetlands and things like that and shipped, you know, long distances, and it's not good. It's not a good mulch at all. And back to the dyed wood for a minute. You have to remember that when you start grinding up lumber and flats, you know, these wooden flats and various scrap lumber and all that kind of thing, they might tell you that there's not treated lumber, treated wood in that system, but I don't know how they keep from it, because some of the things are treated these days, and you can't tell that much difference looking at it, just visually, whether it's been treated with some kind of toxic chemical or not. Now, the wood treatments are not as bad as they used to be. Today, one of the most commonly used one is primarily a copper treatment. It used to be copper, chromium, and arsenic that was used to treat all the wood. That was a big deal. It's still a big deal because there's a lot of that stuff still around. And so that's one of the major problems. The other one is that if pallets are used to grind up into this mulch that becomes the dyed red and black mulch, if the pallets were used to ship something toxic, to keep there from being spills and that toxic material, you know, in those pallets. But even if the wood is perfectly clean, doesn't have any toxic chemicals in it at all, it's too much carbon, too much cellulose, not enough protein, doesn't benefit the soil, not good for plants, and doesn't look good either. There's other negatives about it, too, and rather than me going through every single little detail, what I would suggest is this. There's a little book on the market. It's called Organic Management for the Professional, written by yours truly and John Ferguson and Dr. Michael Amaranthus. From up in the northwest part of the country, and the biggest expert in the world on mycorrhizal fungus. This was John Ferguson's primary area, writing about mulches and compost and things like that. And he has written in detail the pros and the cons about different mulches in that book. And you can check it all out there. The other negative one is one that's used the most, more than any other mulch at all, and it's the one that surprises people the most, because there's still people on the radio and write books and columns and have a lot of folks listening to them, and that's a problem, because what they recommend is so unwise, and that is pine bark. Pine bark is one of the worst mulches of all. I'll talk about why when I come back. Pine needles, on the other hand, very good mulch. That confuses people a little bit, and we'll talk about why when I come back. Howard Garrett, after this.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore. Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. And we're going to go to the phones real quickly here, so jump on board. I need to finish with this conversation about the mulches real quick, and then we'll get to the phones. The number is 866-444-3478. I mentioned as we broke that the one of the worst mulches is the one that's used the most, and it's pine bark. Pine bark has problem number one: it won't behave itself. It won't stay in place. It washes and it blows, especially the finer textured barks, the ones that are ground up into fairly small pieces. Years ago in the landscape business, I used the big bark on projects. I specified it on the landscape projects that we designed. And it actually worked fairly well because the great big pieces had a lot of air spaces in them. And we got away with that. And it was kind of, that was actually before I had gotten into organics. So I really didn't understand that I was needed to be trying to build the health of the soil and the microbes and things like that. But it worked fairly well just from a physical standpoint. The big pieces locked in place fairly well and did behave themselves a little bit. But the fine textured to small
fine textured to medium textured bark like is specified and used a whole lot is terrible. It washes out on sidewalks. It doesn't stay in place. You end up with bare spots and weeds, and it's not good. Besides that, it's not good for plants. Bark has a purpose, a very important purpose, on the trunks of pine trees, and that is to be antimicrobial and antibacterial and protect the tree. Pine bark, more than the bark of other trees, it seems like, having these natural chemicals that are there very, very much present. And so you get a little bit of that situation when the bark is on the soil. There are turpentines and phenols and things like that, natural chemicals, of course, and that really don't encourage growth at all. Of course, the people that recommend pine bark are also the people that recommend Miracle-Gro and 10-10-10 and other synthetic fertilizers. So they're using the bark as just a physical kind of thing, not as something that actually aids the growth of the plant. So you're... unless you force feeding the plants and all that, the bark is, we're going to really limit the growth of plants quite a bit. And people ask me all the time, well, how is that the case if most growers use pine bark and use perlite and use various things that you don't recommend? Well, the potting soils and those kind of growing operations are doing nothing but holding the plant up. They're not helping to improve the soil, biological activity, and grow plants the natural way at all. They're just holding the plant up. That's all they're doing. And the plants are being grown hydroponically, basically, with water-soluble fertilizers. So pine bark is not on my list, obviously. And pine needles are pretty good. They have a completely different chemistry. There is, as opposed to pine bark, which is almost all carbon, no protein in it at all. Pine needles have some protein. They have a balance of the various nutrients, trace minerals. They're much better balanced as far as the carbon to nitrogen ratio. Very effective, especially in vegetable gardens and in landscaping situations where there are pine trees on the property. When you use pine needles and there's not any pine trees on the property, it looks a little bit funny to me, but that's a subjective thing, whatever you want to do. The best mulch, real quickly, and we'll go to the phones, is shredded native tree trimmings. Shredded tree trimmings, shrub trimmings that came from your property are the absolute best. You're recycling things that grew on your property, and you're putting them back down to decay, break down to feed the microbes in the soil, build the earthworm population, stimulate mycorrhizal fungus and beneficial bacteria in the soil, and make plants grow in a natural way. Second best mulch is shredded native tree trimmings that you would buy commercially that would come from various sort of places. And as opposed to compost and things that would contain grass and flowers and things like that, there's a lot less chance of tree trimmings being contaminated with various herbicides, obviously, and pesticides in general and other chemicals, because a lot of people spray the ground a lot more than they spray up in trees. So the chances of getting clean mulch when you're using shredded tree trimming is real high. Now, in Texas and other parts of the South, we have this tree that a lot of people consider a big weed called red cedar, eastern red cedar, and the mountain ash. And both of them are junipers. And a lot of people think that they have no use, but they have great use. Ground up, wonderful, wonderful mulch. But the best for most people would be shredded native tree trimmings that have a variety of trees and shrubs and other woody tissue in the mix. These mulches are available commercially from a lot of the compost, sand, and gravel people. You can get them from any tree care company that's out there. When they do tree trimming and they run the limbs through the grinder, that real coarse ground-up material is what I'm talking about. Now, some people think that's too coarse, And some of the companies will actually regrind it into a finer textured product, and it is nicer, but there's nothing wrong with using the coarse textured material either. You can put it in a big pile, for example, and leave it there for 6 months or so, and it'll break down so quickly and efficiently and beautifully, it'll turn into a partially composted mulch that you can use that's even better. But it'll also do that if you just spread it out as a mulch, flat on the ground. It's called sheet composting. But anyway, more details on all that if you want more detail, and there's a lot of it on in the book called The Organic Management for the Professional that we did. To the phones, it's Ron first up in Carrollton. Hello, Ron.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. What's up?
I've lived here about 35 years, and about 30 years ago, I had planted 4 Arizona ashes, and they've grown real big. And I've also got Asian jasmine growing out about 2.5 feet around the base of each tree. But I just recently had my trees trimmed, and they say I've got borers. And I'm one tree at the base. I suspect I might have termites because I'm seeing a lot of dust. It's only one of them. And that same tree I just saw yesterday, I saw some sap for the first time. And then another tree, some of the bark's coming off. But this may be the work of all the borers and stuff. So what kind of plan, I mean, how do I get rid of the borers and get rid of the trees? Because I've had these trees a long time.
Well, this is a subject that we talked about in quite a bit of detail at the event I spoke at this week, Myriad Gardens, Botanical Gardens in Oklahoma City. And I think it even surprises some of the people in the business about how important this is. But homeowners are, and I used to do it myself, I used to have the same problem. The solution to your situation there is to get the ground cover out from around the base of the trees. And people think, well, how's that going to help anything? Well, when you take it out, you're going to discover that the flares are deep in the ground. And the ground cover is covering that fact up. And the ground cover is also acting as a way to hold moisture on the base of the tree, too. All of those things covering the flare. And you have to understand that the flare is part of the trunk. It's not part of the root system. And it is designed to breathe. It is supposed to breathe. And that's the way it's supposed to function properly, to keep the tree healthy. And when it's covered with ground cover and vines and soil and mulch and all that, it can't breathe properly. Thus, the tree's in stress. Thus, Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews to take the tree out. And that means the borers, termites, not so much. Termites come in to just take advantage of the fact that there's dead wood there. And that means that you've already gotten enough damage to where you've had some rot occur and you got dead tissue, and the termites are coming in there for that. The sawdust can be from the borers. It can be from termites, carpenter ants, things like that. But what you have to realize is that neither the termites nor the ants cause any damage to the tree. They're only going after tree tissue that's already been killed by rot.
Got it.
So look at our website. We've got a lot of pictures and examples and everything, but the thing you need to do post-haste is to get out there and get the ground cover out from around the tree completely, and then you're probably going to find that the flare is not dramatically enough exposed. I've re-exposed, and you can see pictures of this, of my trees on our website, my ginkgo, my big live oak trees, and red oaks. We've actually taken soil and mulch off of the flares twice. Because first time I did it, I thought I was doing it enough, and I really didn't understand how important it is to be very dramatic in it. You want that flare to not only be turning at an angle out, you want it to be all the way horizontal and moving laterally so you can literally step on the roots. And when you do that, you create a situation where the tree breathes a sigh of relief. You can almost feel it and hear it. And then it will, the very first growing season, in this case, it'll be next spring, but you'll see it grow. better than it's ever grown. The borers can be treated if they're still active, and they may not be. They may have already exited those holes. But you can put orange oil or essential oils in any holes that you find, seal the holes up with putty. Orange oil kills anything that's working in those holes as well as anything. The other thing you can do is put beneficial nematodes in the holes. Seal the holes with putty or with the tree trunk goop that we talk about. Formula is on the website on dirtdoctor.com under guides on the homepage. And do the entire sick tree treatment then. The first step of the sick tree treatment is what we've been talking about, the exposure of the flare. And then the rest of the sick tree treatment is aeration of the root zone. In your case, it's probably your entire property because Arizona ashes or any ash that's been around for a while, it'll have its roots all over the entire property. Aerate physically with mechanical aerators or spray hydrogen peroxide. And our last newsletter explains how to do that, to fluff up and aerate the soil with a liquid spray. And then the final, well, the next step is to put out the amendments that we use for bed preparation, compost, rock powders, and sugars. And then the final step is to spray Garrett juice on the trunk, on the flare, on the twigs, on the branches, on the leaves, and on the ground. And your trees will turn right around for you.
How far out do I have to remove the base?
All right, let me put you on hold. We'll talk about it a little bit more when I come back. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back after this.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, and they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor. Farmer's Market is outstanding, and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
Concerned about drought? Think Hydratein. When you're planting new shrubs, trees, flowers, or sod, think Hydratein. Want to reduce your water bill? Think Hydratein. After years of commercial use by golf courses, nurseries, sod farms, and top landscapers, Hydratein is now available to you. Hydratein allows you to water up to 50% less and maintain healthy, great-looking plants and turf. Ask your lawn service or local garden center for Hydratein or order directly from Hydratein.com. That's Hydratein.com.
Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation.
Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. This asteroid that's coming real close to Earth today must be doing something. Maybe it started doing something yesterday. I was doing Bob Webster's show Saturday morning with him, as I always do, and I found out as we ended our conversation that we'd been off the air for 15 or 20 minutes. I heard two radio stations I was dialing around today that were had dead air going on, and then those of you that were listening to the first of the show here today, we had a little technical issue here, so... asteroid may be doing something in there. Ron had one more question, I think, about his Arizona ash. You still there, Ron?
Yes, I still am.
What was your question?
The question was how far from the base of the tree do I need to remove everything? Is there a ratio? Is there a number of footage?
No, that's a good question. There's not a ratio or a set number or a distance or anything. You have to do it subjectively. You have to start taking the soil back and see how far out you need to go. It really depends on how deep the flare is. The more the tree is buried in the ground, in other words, the deeper you have to go to get to the true flare, the
right.
Wider the hole should be. And what I do, I've done it on my own trees, and I've done it on golf courses and commercial projects all over the place, or, you know, help people do it, is that we turn the hole into kind of a dish shape. What the roots do when the flare is buried too deeply in the ground, the roots will start growing back up toward the surface at some point, trying to get to air. In some cases, you'll get this little spaghetti-looking root growth that looks like spaghetti, really, that's trying to grow up and get some air. You cut all that away if you run into it, and you get down to those true flares, those big roots that are going out. But they're moving out, and they're moving back up. So you never want to go out so far that you start cutting into them or anything. You see what I mean? You expose what you need to expose. And, yeah, in some cases, if the trees are too deep, it leaves a hole in the yard for a while. Doesn't last that long. I mean, things grow in and the flare expands quickly once it's exposed to air, and it all turns out to look fine at some point. But in the very beginning, it looked like you left a hole. Now, if you have a limited amount of space, for example, in some cases we have to expose trees that are too deep in the ground and they're right beside the foundation or right beside sidewalks or other construction. In that case, you just have to go straight down. And then you might have to build a wall to actually hold the soil up. There was a tree, a famous bur oak in Waco, Texas, where the homeowner did the work himself, he and his family, and they took 10 feet of soil off. He was an engineer, and he built a structure down in the hole to hold it in place and a platform over the top so people wouldn't fall in it. So it just depends on how deep the tree is the answer to the question.
Great. Appreciate the help.
Appreciate the call. I'll do some before and after pictures, and we'll show people how good you did.
All right.
Thanks to you later. I was showing the people at Myriad Botanical Gardens, in fact, different trees that needed work. And one of the trees I showed had English ivy growing up on the trunk of the tree. I used to very cavalierly say, that's fine. It's okay to have vines growing on the trunk of the tree. Just don't let the vines get up in the top. I was really wrong on that. Vines on the trunk of the tree cover the flare and hold moisture on there just like soil does. Plus, it hides the fact that there's probably a lot of soil and mulch up on the flare as well. So any vines, any ground cover, anything like that growing up on the trunks of trees, and this is a good time to start thinking about it because we recommend this work to be done as a fall and winter procedure across the board, every tree out there. And then the second photograph I showed everybody was a tree that had this real pretty little posy garden, right? A little posy planting under it. I don't know what kind of flowers they were, but it was a little no wider than probably 15 inches, a little circle of flowers around the trunk of the tree. If you have any of those at home, take them out. Don't want them. Two problems. The big one. Well, they're equally big. The first one is you've probably built a bed and you probably brought soil up and you're probably too high on the tree. The second one is that you're going to water those posies or whatever flowers they are too much for the tree. The tree doesn't want to be watered right at the base of the trunk on a daily or everyday basis to keep your little flowers. And it looks kind of artificial anyway. What should you have at the base of the tree? Soil or a thin layer of one of those good mulches I was talking about. We had a full bank of calls at a minute ago, and then they all went away. David, did you run everybody off, or what happened? Flora in Cleburne is next. By the way, the number is 866-444-3478. Hi, Flora.
Hi. Give me one second. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions.
Okay.
One is this last December, we planted some bare root trees that were 4 to 5 feet tall, and we live in the country, and there's been grasshoppers eating the bark off of it, and every leaf is stripped. I was wondering if you thought they might make it.
Yeah, they probably will. Coat some tree trunk goop on the wounds and spray, if the grasshoppers are still around, with the spinosad product. But just spray directly on the plants that are being devoured by the grasshoppers. Don't spray it all over the property because spinosad will negatively affect honeybees. It won't kill them, but it confuses them and fouls up their navigation. But
okay, I missed what you said to coat the tree with.
Tree trunk goop. It's a mixture of three things: compost, natural DE, and phosphate. And the formula is on our website on dirtdoctor.com on the homepage under guides. I'll talk to you off the air. Howard Garrett, we'll be back after this.